a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Hello and welcome aboard Gallant and George on this Friday. Friday, got to get down on Friday, March 15th of 2024. I am Paul Gallant. Don't worry, there has not been another lineup change. Joe George just has the day off. It's going to be me all the way up till 3. DJ Bien-Aimé is going to join me at 1 to talk about what the Texans have been doing this offseason, as is, yes, the general, John McClain, to talk about that, but also to talk about something else. And I'm sure a lot of you guys are aware of this by now, but we had some really sad news yesterday here at Gal Media, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, Sports Map, the whole building, when we learned of the passing of Fred Fowler, who was 59. You probably knew him from The Blitz, which many of my friends still tell me is the best sports radio show this city's ever had. 12 awesome, fun years with Fred Fowler. And of course, AJ Hoffman, who I know joined the bench at 9 o'clock. But Fred was more than that. And I'm pretty upset about it. This is a guy, and if you saw online, all of the tributes to him was unbelievably generous when it comes to giving people opportunities. For myself, when the flagship let me go, Fred encouraged me to write for Sports Map, and I actually got paid for writing over at Sports Map for a couple of months before I went off to Seattle. He's somebody that regularly invited me to go play games of poker. I was always too intimidated to actually go play. I'm very curious as to what those scenes would have been like. He's a guy that I would shoot the bleep with basically after my show, which had started with Vanessa, because whenever I would leave the station, I'd always catch him ripping darts outside. I hosted a couple of shows with him on the Sports Map Network, and I think one of the things that I truly enjoyed about him is that this is somebody that I actually would want to hang out with. You know, this is the kind of person, and I'm sure so many of you guys have much better stories than I do, but this is the kind of person who, yeah, you'd want to sit down and crack open a couple of beers with and just shoot the breeze about whatever. And I know that's what The Blitz did. The Blitz was not just a sports show. You know, we have that caller that calls in all the time and says sports. No, The Blitz had fun. The Blitz did it right. They did it in a way where I don't think a lot of people know how to, which is just being authentic. And on top of that, talking about the things that everybody wants to talk about, which isn't always sports. But this is a guy that I love shooting the breeze with. The amount of drinking stories that we would trade off, like, this is a person I was like, okay, he's got cooler stories than me. He's just got way cooler stories than me. What can I effing say? You know, and I like to think of myself as a wild man, but Fred always had me beat. And man, 59 is just way too young. Sean, I know you've probably had some experiences with Fred, as have everybody in this building. I did want to say that for today's show, if you have memories of Fred and you want to share them with everybody, all show long, the floor is yours at 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join us on Twitter as well, in our Twitch chat, in our YouTube chat. But yeah, we lost a family member today as a station, and a guy who made this place, helped make this place what it is today. Obviously, you know, you got the guys in the morning with John Granato and Lance Erline, but that afternoon show was a staple of this place for a very, very long time. And yeah, I'm very sad today. Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm sure you've had plenty of awesome interactions with Fred, who was a wonderful, generous dude yourself.
Yeah, I was an intern when on the Blitz. I interned 2019 and 2020. The word for Fred, I don't have a singular story of the time I entered on the Blitz. It was just the generosity and the interest in you that that he would have, and which is pretty rare. As there are sports radio legends in the city of Houston. I am just some intern. You know, he's probably had hundreds of them in his career. But he would still ask what my name is the first day, ask what I'm interested in, da da da. It was more than just the making nice. He actually was interested in
truly.
When I got hired, he told me that he was happy and proud of me, that all that stuff where you kind of take it for granted sometimes, but with a guy like Fred, you just know how authentic it is. And he was just a great guy. Obviously, an institution, not just in sports radio, but working for the Chronicle too.
Gallery Sports too, right?
Truly too young, truly gone too young.
Yeah, I looked at the sheer volume of people from all sorts of different backgrounds that he gave opportunities to that were so thankful for him. I was just going through some of the people who weighed in. It was Jerry Bowe, Holly, I think Jermaine.
It's
crazy just to see how many people had some awesome things to say about him. And ultimately for all of us in life, that's what you want. That's what you want. And there was a point yesterday where RIP Falcon was trending on Twitter. So, it just sucks. There's a part of me that just thinks of all the times that, maybe I could have gone to a poker game and we could have ripped some shots of Malort or whatever god awful drink that he would have been pushing.
I think that was only on the camera.
That's good. Malort is just absolute doo doo.
We've been very serious and stuff, but the Blitz, they were a very fun show, and that's ultimately
that's what we go for.
Yeah, that's what we go for. That obviously, like I said, I interned on that show. I listened to him when I was young. That definitely had an imprint and an effect on what I want to do and what I try to do every day here. And yeah, the Friday happy hours during 2020 were truly, truly a magical time.
Yeah, I can imagine. I saw Josh Ennis posting a couple of pictures of all the drinks that were being ripped there, and that's what this is supposed to be, and that man was fantastic on that front, but also with other human beings, just a guy that you wanted to grab a beer with. We got Frank Bullington calling in. Frank, what's up, brother? Good to see you yesterday.
First of all, let me say you're very smart for never playing poker with Fred Fowler, because he probably was asking you in just to be a rube and take your money. Go through a couple of things that people may not know about him. First of all, when we started 1560, he was still at the Chronicle. And so since we had Ken Hoffman and Richard Justice on from the Chronicle, he came up and, was hanging out, and he just started being like, "Hey man, I want to do a show." And we just didn't have enough bandwidth to put him on at the time, but he started filling in for us and doing weekend shows. And I was like, man, it was just cool to see and to hear him sort of start doing that from the very beginning. And what they don't, then Chance and I were talking to him, and he was like, "Yeah, man, I play guitar." We're like, "Really?" They're like, "Cool, we'll come over to the studio." So sure enough, Chance and I and Fred go to my studio, and he brings over a couple of guitars. And then he just melts my face off shredding.
You just started shredding.
Metal shredding. Super fast, ridiculous, can't even see his fingers move, shredding. I was like, "What the hell is this?" And he was in L.A. Get this. He was in L.A. during the metal scene, like when Motley Crue and all that stuff. Like, you want that? Watch that Motley Crue mockumentary. That he was around all that stuff. He was in a couple of big bands in L.A. at the time. He was a young kid, total long hair, kind of a mullet, and showed me some pictures. And I was just, God, we just jammed on some old school metal. And then I ended up buying one of his guitars for a friend of mine. A friend of mine bought one of his early 80s Gibson Explorers, which was well worn down. I mean, this guy didn't just play a guitar. He shredded it.
That's a talent that I would not have guessed that he had.
No, and then to see the photos of him with the old metal haircut and like the spandex pants, leopard prints and stuff. It was something about him you didn't expect that he never talked about. But if you ever put a guitar in his hand, watch out. I mean, he was really, really good. I really enjoyed Fred. He was so nice to everyone, and just a great talent. Went to the track with him a couple of times. It sucks, and he's only 4 years older than me. So this is just way too young.
It is way too young. Frank, thanks for sharing all those stories about him. And
you got it. Love you guys. Talk to you later.
Love you too, dog. We're going to have more people, I'm sure, calling in about Fred over the course of the show. We got a couple of people waiting on hold right now. And since they've been waiting, I do want to squeeze them in. Now, who's up first? 713-780-3776. Lane, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, y'all? I just wanted to say that Fred was one of those guys I grew up with listening to Blitz, AJ Hoffman. I actually went on to work in sports, and my TV in Mississippi, and my sports director passed away from cancer a number of years back. So I can only imagine what y'all are going through. What I will say is, the way I look at it, you know, every time y'all do what y'all do, make somebody laugh, entertain somebody, you carrying on his memory, man. So just God bless y'all. Keep it going. RIP Fred.
Thanks, Lane. That's an awesome message right there. A lot of people have been saying on the text lines, see it from Sergio, Fred and the Blitz is the reason I started listening to 97.5. I know one of my very close friends, Sean, who regularly will text me in the middle of the show and then get into lawyer mode and start arguing with stuff I said. No, he, my other friend, Zach, these guys would regularly bring up how this was like what sports radio should be in this town, what Fred did with AJ on the Blitz, and I'm glad that they paved the way, and I hope we were able to keep some people over. Into what Lane was saying, I do hope that in some way we're paying homage. I'm told we have to play the song Friday by Rebecca Black at some point. I'm always game for that. I kind of like that song. Whatever. One more call. Matt has some memories about Fred. 713-780-3776. Matt, what's going on?
Sports, fellas.
Sports.
Those Friday shows had me laughing harder than I've ever laughed in my life. It's a show I actually looked forward to tuning into and made sure I didn't miss it. Yeah, Fred will be very missed. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Matt, for that.
Yeah, the Friday Twitch shows. I would work here in the morning, drive home, set an alarm for I think it was 4 o'clock. They'd do 1 hour of sports radio, and the 4 o'clock hour would be the happy hours.
Okay, so what was different about the happy hour?
They're always drinking some awful beer, some cigarette flavored vodka.
It
was always something crazy, and you were always like, "Man, why are they doing?"
Did they ever bring you in? Did you ever taste test it?
No, because I was always working morning, and
you were
like,
out. Okay.
I was like, "I'm not staying for 5 extra hours or driving back."
You don't want the bacon flavored vodka?
Yeah, to drink these terrible drinks. I was letting Trey Campbell do that.
Got some great stuff on the Twitch and on ESPN as well. All show long, you got memories about Fred. Share them. We do have a lot to discuss in the world of sports. Texas made a trade today, but it's not a trade that has a lot of people excited. And some people, maybe rightfully so, are calling out Nick Caserio for things that did not happen in the past 48 hours after the signing of Danielle Hunter and the trade for Joe Mixon. We'll discuss that on the other side. It is Gallant and George, no Joe, just Paul, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN. It's
Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Just Paul today, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in some really heartfelt texts we're getting. Long ones, I don't want to read all of them, but they're all very much appreciated, and I'm sure in the great beyond, while ripping darts and maybe drinking some more of that Malort, that Fred the Falcon would appreciate that. RIP to Fred Fowler. We do have a couple of people that are sending in memories of happy hour, because I really want to know what was the absolute worst alcohol that they had during happy hour. A couple of people are bringing up, and I don't believe this is real, was it truly tobacco-flavored schnapps?
Yeah, okay, that's what it was. That's what it was. I had it as cigarette-flavored vodka. Yes, it was tobacco-flavored schnapps.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah.
That sounds disgusting. People are bringing up Malort. Malort's not great, but Malort to me is just cheap Jaeger. Now, maybe that's an insult to Jaeger. I'm not the biggest Jaeger guy. I don't think there's that much of a difference between Jaeger and Malort. I think like Malort's basically bottom shelf Jaeger.
We have, I literally just got a text from another person who would be involved in the Happy Hour Fridays, Jack McCraw. He said, remember the pickle beer? That was the worst.
Oh.
I don't remember the pickle beer, but that was the...
But we touched on this. It. We touched on this last week.
I don't think it was the same as a pickle juice shot, though.
Oh.
I think it was beer. that tastes like pickles.
I was at a liquor store not too long ago, you know, looking for my Pendleton, and I remember I saw in the gin aisle, there was a bottle of gin that had a cat on it. And the cat apparently had knocked like pickles or something like that into the gin. So they made like a special like pickle flavored gin or something like that. And I almost bought it because there was a kitty cat on the bottle. But then I thought to myself, you know what? If people come over here and have it. Well, yeah, I know. I really am. I mean, if you have a cat on your bottle of liquor, I'm probably going to buy it. There's a couple of tequila ones that I got, and I'm pretty sure they're not even good. But like, oh, there's a kitty cat. Meow. What else do we have here? Twitch.tv/ESPN97.5 on YouTube as well at ESPN Houston. Menthol tobacco flavored vodka, says Alex Houston. Yeah, that sounds more passable, but obviously the execution would be taking place in your mouth because that is awful.
That's what a lot of those, from what I remember, were like. It was that they're like, you know what? They'd initial, that's awful. And then they would try to talk themselves into it. And then the first person would have it. And they'd be like, nope, it's terrible.
A couple of people are telling me I need to get Josh and Hassan. We'll see what we can do. We do have John McClain joining us at 2. John's known Fred forever. So he's going to have some stories that he'll share, and looking forward to that. And again, keep the memories coming. We got one more, Pena, who's on 713-780-3776. What's up, Pena?
Hey, what's going on? Hey, I don't have any memories because from Fred, because I started tuning in when the Weasel House came on. But was he the one, him or Hoffman, were on the last show? Like, I've never done this before, but I'm going to spark up a cigarette. Was that him?
Probably.
Probably. Well,
that's on
that's
brand.
Probably about the only thing.
Yeah.
That's about the only thing. But I know two Freds in my life, and they're pretty badass dudes. So I'm pretty sure he was a badass dude. But my condolences to y'all. But I called to talk about the Texans and this recent trade.
Okay.
All the comments I'm reading about is the Texans got fleeced by the Vikings. And I just want to hear, do you think that they got fleeced? I personally don't think they got fleeced. But, yeah, have a great weekend, guys.
Appreciate the phone call. Okay, so let's just drift into talking about the trade that the Houston Texans made this morning. In case you didn't hear about it, it does seem like the big moves for the Texans are not happening anytime soon. I suppose we could be surprised, but Eric Armstead signed with the Jacksonville Jaguars. There was a moment in time where it looked like the Texans were going to actually make a trade that involved Malik Collins and Eric Armstead. That clearly did not happen. I believe the issue was over the contract. I think it was Patrick Storm who put out that it was between 2 years, what the Texans were offering, and 3 years, which is what Armstead was looking for. So now he ends up in Jacksonville. And then you combine that with a couple of moves, the Texans signing another defensive tackle named Tim Settle. Insert dad jokes. They settled for Settle.
Yeah, I already did it.
You have to do it.
I mean, no one has heard of this guy until...
I had not heard of him.
Until he was the backup plan to correct. Eric Armstead.
Can't wait for a text and a text or YouTube comment when we post this later saying, like, Paul doesn't know Paul. He doesn't know who Tim Settle is. Good. I'm glad.
Sacks last year.
I'm glad I don't know who Tim Settle is. We wish him well here, obviously. But the trade that took place this morning, it was between the Texans and the Minnesota Vikings. Here's how it went down. The Texans are trading pick number 23 in this year's draft and number 232 to Minnesota for pick 42 this year, pick 188 this year, and a 2025 second rounder. So they're getting 2 second round picks, one of which I imagine will be an early second round pick given the changes that the Vikings have gone through this offseason. And the Texans don't have a first-round pick. I don't think this is a fleecing. And I also think it's funny that once again we're back to getting mad at Nick Caserio online. Danielle Hunter, yeah! Joe Mixon, yeah! Wait, that's it? Wait, that's it? Fire Nick Caserio! I'm hyperbolizing a little bit, but I just love how inconsistent we are this week. Jeez, Louise, you guys need to settle down. This move, to me, is a reflection of two things. Number one, the Texans draft board is probably one where they feel that between picks 23 and 42, there's not much of a difference. And two, okay, now that the Texans are a semi-contender, I think that Caserio is going to do some of the same stuff that Bill Belichick used to do with the New England Patriots. What is that? Well, to explain it to you, you might have remembered that the Patriots would regularly have picks towards the back of the first round, and they would regularly trade back and get more picks and get more picks. Did these picks always work out? No.
That's where he went wrong towards the end.
Correct.
N'Keal Harry and such.
Oh, don't remind me. The drafting got pretty bad towards the end. But the idea of acquiring more picks so you can take more swings, I think it's smart. And to Nick Caserio's credit, I think he's done a pretty good job in the second, third, fourth round to this point. You might argue, well, John Metchie, what are we getting? Well, it's a guy that fell very far. You took him because of the value. Juice Scruggs looked very good. Jalen Petrie was good his first season. Damian Pierce, Nico Collins, Tank Dell. The picks in the middle of the draft, not the first round picks, that's what turns you into a contender. If it was all about the first round picks, we'd be talking about former Texans GM Rick Smith as one of the best general managers ever. Because to Rick Smith's credit, Rick Smith nailed just about every first round pick that he made with the Texans. Think about them all. They were all really, really good. You know, we're talking Dwayne Brown. We're talking J.J. Watt. DeAndre Hopkins, Whitney Mercilus, you know, Brian Cushing. We're talking about a lot of very good players for the Texans. Problem was, rounds 2 through 4 for Rick Smith. That was the issue. But he was able to get the first round picks correct. I think people, when they see first round picks are no longer on the table for a draft, I heard Dell talking about it a little bit. Okay, it's kind of disappointing because it means the first night of the NFL draft, you have no reason to watch it. But the other thing is, too, I think that in our heads, we believe that first-round picks mean that you are going to land a Pro Bowl-caliber player. And the reality is that the majority of first-round picks, you're going to get a good starter for 4 to 5 years. Best-case scenario. Could be a bust. Could find a home run. But if you're picking later on in the draft, what are you expecting to get? And this is going to sound like a bit of a Texan spin zone here. I will admit, I do not see how they upgrade the cornerback position if they do not have a pick in the first round as far as guys who can make things happen immediately. I would make the same case about the defensive line if you're trading back to the second round. You know, you don't want to end up with another Ross Blacklock, who I think the Texans took in the second round a couple of years ago. But I think when you're looking at this trade, think about it from the perspective of what's really the difference between drafting somebody at 23 versus 42. In the Texans' eyes, clearly it's not that big of a difference. To you, it might be. I am going to trust the Texans on this as opposed to you. No offense to you. Hey. No offense. No offense. There's been too much impatience on these streets, Sean.
Yeah, I think that's what part of it is that I agree with you as far as, you know, rational team building, that getting a second round pick to move back from 23 to 42. Yep. I can nod along and be like, that makes sense. Sounds good. Now, talking as a sports radio host in Houston, come on, you're killing me, Nick Caserio. We need to talk about at 23. Where do you go? Do you go cornerback? We don't even have to talk about specific guys. I know everyone fell in love with Quinyon Mitchell after Lance mocked him to the Texans a couple weeks back, and now he's getting mocked at like 10 picks higher.
Right.
But I think that, just selfishly, could we have waited till a little bit closer to draft so I can milk a couple more segments out of where do you want to, because it takes a lot of the heat out of the segment to be like, where do you go at 43? And now I have to Google these guys.
No. You're looking at it wrong, Sean, because you know, for me, like, I'm thrilled about this. Now we don't have to talk about like random players at the back of the first round or in the top of the second. What are you so disappointed about?
I just want to see a mock draft where it's Xavier Worthy, and I'm like, oh, he ran fast. There we go.
Okay, you just want the Texas guy to fall all the way. He's not going to fall.
Yes, I've moved from A.D. Mitchell and Xavier Worthy being Texans to now, give them two chances to get Tavondre Sweat.
Hell yeah. There we go. See?
Do they need a tight end? Jadeveon Sanders?
Texans, Texas?
I only know the second rounders that went to Texas. I don't know any of the other ones.
So that's the level-headed and rational take about the Texans trading out of that spot. I do understand the idea that the totality of the Malik Collins trade with Eric Armstead signing in the division looks like a failure for Nick Caserio. And yeah, I think it's fair to criticize that. Something didn't work. Seems like they made a move without the I being dotted, the T being crossed. So if you want to criticize that, sure. I think that as far as the overall offseason grade, you can't call it an A+ anymore. But I think you can still call it an A-.
Yeah, the Armstead stuff kind of reminds me, and I've drawn comparisons to the Rockets this past Rockets offseason before in day one when we're freaking out. Well, we weren't, but, you know, Texans fans were freaking out about the lack of movement. I was like, this is what it was for the first 3 hours before the Rockets signed Fred VanVleet last summer. And this, to me, is a little bit like the Brook Lopez deal that fell through. The Rockets thought they had Brook Lopez.
Yeah.
And then he backed out and went to Brooklyn. Or went back, not Brooklyn, went back to Milwaukee.
How dare he?
A, yes, how dare he. B, it's a move where it's like, yeah, things didn't go according to plan. Made some trades that you only made with the idea that you're getting this guy. Now you aren't. Kind of wish you could hit the undo button on some of these trades. But overall, just like last year's Rockets offseason, big positive. This Texans offseason, I think we'll see how it all goes. I'm sure we'll have that segment in late April or March of comparing the off seasons. But I think so far I like the Texans offseason a little bit more than last year's Rockets. But still ways to go. Maybe they can screw it up.
He is Sean Mapes. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Joe's got the day off. Up next, we continue to remember the great Fred Fowler, who passed away yesterday at the age of 59, gone far too soon. We're going to have John McClain on at 2 o'clock. to share some memories of him. But we want to hear from you, too, because we know that the Blitz was a huge part of your life for a lot of the ESPN 97.5 and 92.5ers who have been here for a while. He was a good man to me. He was good to pretty much everyone he knew. And that's going to be all show long. If we find things that we've been looking through the audio vaults to find fun moments from the show.
Digging through the crates.
Blowing
some dust off of something.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, so there's something that we might be playing later on in the show. We have to find the... We basically have to trim the audio just a little bit, but look for that in the 2 o'clock hour. So talking about Fred on the table all show long. Up next, you know, speaking of some of the moves that the Houston Texans made, one of the newest Houston Texans pandered in the best possible way yesterday. You're going to love it. Don't go anywhere.
You are back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe. Just play.
The word dickweed. It is an insult for people who are rude, selfish, stupid, inconsiderate jerks no one wants to spend time with. Just under, per dictionary.com, an a-hole in the sweary pecking order. And that was the term of love that Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman used during the days of the Blitz, 12 years on sports radio. At one point, the number one rated sports radio show in the market, which is saying something, given sometimes, as some people might bring up, you know, the signal, etc. Also, you know, the way that evil monopoly that is hijacking millions of dollars away from radio stations everywhere, the way that they measure those ratings in a city as big as Houston, pretty ridiculous. But hey, who's keeping tabs on that cartel that's killed so many people in this industry because they're using technology from the 1990s? Who's caring about that? Not me. But we're remembering Fred Fowler today. I did have a couple more texts. 713-780-3776 is how you call in. It's also how you text in. This one, Blitzers gathered together on the radio to talk about Game of Thrones, Banshee, Preacher, Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, and even The Walking Dead for the first three seasons. There were too many seasons. That was the problem with the Walking Dead. I respect their ability to talk about that. That is also back in the heyday of Game of Thrones and The Walking Dead in particular. Me and Jim Mudd, we used to do a podcast over at the Texans flagship talking about it. But on my night show, we talked so much Game of Thrones to the point where I'm glad that my program director probably wasn't listening so that I could get away with talking about it as much as I did. But I would have loved to, during the heyday of the Blitz, just to have come on literally just to talk about Game of Thrones, a show that I watched seven times through, but not the last season, which I have yet to rewatch still.
Yeah, that is one of the ripple effects of the Blitz, I feel like, especially in this market, is the free and the morning show guys, John and Lance. But the ability to stray so far away from sports for
yes.
an extended amount of time.
But people stayed listening.
Yeah, that a part of that is it just shows that it's a force of personality thing. You know, the radio game, it's about, like you mentioned, that he was an all-time guy that you want to have a drink with. And that's kind of the whole gig, really, is to mm-hmm. be a guy that people want to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And not just talk about, you know, the Houston Texans, the offseason, Joe Mixon, did they give up too much?
Right.
You also want to just hear them talk about what you're watching on TV and stuff. And
exactly.
So, yeah, that's another one of the many, many legacies that both Fred and AJ have.
That is Sean Mapes. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Danielle Hunter, Joe Mixon yesterday were introduced as the newest Houston Texans. And if you want to like Danielle Hunter, who, of course, went to Morton Ranch, is from Katie. Danielle Hunter is checking all the pander boxes. Intentionally, unintentionally, if he's just being authentic, well, he did a damn good job of being authentic. Someone asked if he had grown up a Houston Texans fan, and he said, yeah, Mario Williams was my favorite player. How many people would say that? That makes me believe him. Like, yeah, big Mario Williams guy. And, of course, you know, he's a pass rusher and maybe modeling his game after Mario Williams growing up, having watched him. But that's a real Texan fan answer.
Yeah, real heads know.
Real heads know, right.
They must have been a defensive lineman, you know, fellow defensive lineman.
Yeah.
He was, wow, he's 29, so yeah, he was a couple of weeks, he was maybe, what, seventh grade when that happened?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Casual Texans fan? You know what the casual Texans fan says? J.J. Watt.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought you were going to say, if he got up there and he was like, you know, I kind of wish they had drafted Reggie Bush or Vince Young, and number one and 06.
Now that would have been an opinion that everybody else probably shared.
Yeah, that would have been, and especially to say that as you're signing a deal for $50 million for that organization.
Yeah.
I get it. Like, it's five regimes ago.
Yeah.
It still is just a funny thing.
It really was a thing.
And you know what? Danielle Hunter, I think he's saying Mario Williams maybe earned the respect, again, pass rusher to pass rusher, by bet in the moment, going a time machine to April 06. I bet young Danielle Hunter was like, kind of, Reggie Bush looks pretty awesome.
We all would have. Or Vince Young after the Natty. Yeah. I mean, sports radio here must have been rather insufferable during that time, because I imagine a few things were talked about before that draft.
Dope's like me calling it.
Yeah. Vince Young, I mean, he's a winner.
Did you see what he did against USC? I don't know why my own voice, I'm talking like that.
That's the greatest team ever. Vince Young would have taken them down the way he'd take down the whole menu at Cheesecake Factory.
Hey, we didn't know that at the time.
We didn't know it at the time, but we do know it. Yeah. Now, Cheesecake Factory does have a lot of varied items on the menu. Also, Danielle Hunter at yesterday's press conference was asked about what number he'll wear. You going to wear number 99? He paused. And you know what he said? That's JJ's number.
Danielle Hunter, ladies and gentlemen.
Danielle Hunter, is he already in the Texans' Ring of Honor? Without having played down? I don't know. These are all the things I want to hear.
He's on his way.
He's making the history of this franchise seem a lot better than it actually is before he even plays it down. Let's go, baby.
He's really hitting the highlights.
Yeah. All of the highlights. One, two, three. He's got him. Joe Mixon got introduced as well yesterday, and the other move that the Texans made is they gave him an extension already, which is surprising. I imagine frees up a little bit of cap space in the short term, but okay, Joe Mixon is going to be the guy for the next couple of years, and they're going to have to get a backup for him. Is that going to come in the draft? Is that going to come the next couple of weeks of free agency? 713-780-3776 to call, to text. We're remembering the great Fred Fowler today. We got Rob on hold. Rob, what's up?
Hey guys, I was a dedicated listener to Fred and AJ, and what I remember was, and you probably do too, was Fred and AJ talked Jung into being pepper sprayed, and they did it on the air, and of course, I mean, Jung just lost it, and had all sorts of problems with it, and then Fred and AJ were both suspended for a week. But do you guys remember that?
I do remember it. In fact, that is legitimately the audio that we are trying to piece together so that we can play it at some point later in the show. So glad you brought that one up. Glad that you remembered it. Right now, that is one of the pieces of audio that we are working on, because I've never heard it myself, and I really want to hear it because
it was classic, Paul, and you know, Fred and AJ, that blitz, like I said, I was a dedicated listener, and they worked so well together, and they were so entertaining, sports side, non-sports, like you mentioned earlier, the shows that they critiqued together. It was great. It was a fantastic show.
it was good stuff. And Fred was more than that show being awesome. Fred was just a great dude. And Rob, appreciate you sharing that. And you want to share stories about Fred all show long you can. I think he'd want us to talk about all the fun times that we all got to have with him, whether we were hanging with him or we were listening to him, which in a way is hanging with him. Is it not? It is the Paul Gallant Show. Just kidding. It's not. It's. I knew that was going to happen at some point. I knew it was going to happen at some point. It's Gallant.
An hour.
It's. Listen, I've got a goldfish brain. What do you want from me?
No, no. Hey, you've given out different radio shows or different radio station numbers before. So this one, I'll let you have this one.
You're still doing this
like 3 weeks ago.
It's still fresh. That is true. Joe George is out. It is Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. Did one of the most polarizing sports figures in town officially redeem himself last night with one highlight? You'll answer that for me next. First, I got to tell you about my friends at Pendleton and Pendleton Whiskey. Guys, that Rodeo Mary I was telling you about yesterday, it's Pendleton with the Bloody Mary mix. It was clutch. I needed it because the back concert, it hit me hard. Pendleton Whiskey is smooth. It's refreshing. You know how I like it. Bring this up all the time. Just give me a cocktail glass, one big old rock, two fingers worth of that smooth, refreshing, not too sweet goodness. It's cut with the finest northern grains and Mount Hood Glacier Water, and it's a whiskey that you're going to try and you're really going to enjoy, whether you find it at a liquor store or drizzly.com. Pendleton Whiskey honors a heritage that inspires us to live boldly, never lose sight of the values we believe in, and to taste the moment wherever we may be. Have a glass later today. Send a salute to Fred. It's Pendleton Whiskey. It's true Western tradition.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody looking forward to the weekend Friday.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Fred Bauer liked this song. I really like this song. Why are you making that look, Sean?
Oh, I was trying to listen to the verse. I was like, you know what? I never really get to the verse very often. You only hear the hook.
My favorite part about this song is the random...
The music video.
Not just the whole music video.
Everything about
There's
the music
a specific
video is my
part
thing.
Of the music video where, like, okay, she's clearly, like, in eighth grade or a high schooler or something like that. But there's this random rapper in the middle of the song that just pops out of nowhere, and he's driving like 100 miles per hour through downtown of a city, and you're like, who the hell is this guy?
I have no answers for
that. I don't either.
But yeah, I think it was, yeah, Rebecca Black was like 15 or 14 with this, so she couldn't be driving the car.
This part.
It's Friday.
We so excited. Okay, we gotta cut the song.
No. These are important lyrics.
No. These are important. Going through the days of the week in relation to Friday is not important lyrics. That's where it turns into like a Teletubbies song.
4 like, days ago, it was Monday. Hey, 3 days ago, it was... Wednesday.
Leave this to Sesame Street. All right.
I like it. John's got a thought about Fred Fowler, the late Fred Fowler, who passed away yesterday. We're remembering him on the air today. John, what's up?
Hey guys, how's it going?
We're doing all right.
I actually called and told part of this story earlier, but I kind of forgot some of it. So like at early 2019, I was going through a divorce. No one in my family at all has ever been in a divorce. And I heard you know, Fred and AJ joking about all of Fred's divorces, multiple. So I actually just made a Twitter account and messaged him. He told me to come out to their next spot, which was like the following day, and sent me his phone number. I went out and met them. He bought me bought me a few beers. We talked like two and a half or 3 hours after their show. And then I got in the car. We were talking about money and how everything was jacked up. He slipped me like $200 to my jacket. And
wow,
it saved basically me from being foreclosed upon, like just a little bit like that. But actually did is he called me every week for 3 straight weeks. And then it was every other week after that for like 2 or 3 months. And he showed up. The part I forgot earlier was he actually showed up to meet me before the whole thing finalized in front of the courthouse. Because I had talked to him like 2 or 3 days before. And this was like 8 months after I had met him. He kept in touch. We actually talked up until like a year ago. Dude was awesome. He was the most gracious person with his time. It was really amazing, honestly.
I appreciate you sharing that, John. Wow, that's incredible. And that's who he was. He truly cared about other people and made time for other people in a way that, you know, you want to take something good away from whenever someone you know passes. It's usually the best thing that they did. And I think for all of us, it's a reminder to, one, just be cool to other people. Pretty obvious thing. But also, you never know when things are going to happen. So you stay in touch with that person as long as you can. There's somebody you haven't talked to in a while. What's keeping you from talking to that person? I know I called both my parents yesterday, after this went down. And, it's truly a bummer. The passing of Fred Fowler, who was such a staple on this radio station, but also impacted and touched so many people in the industry. And as you heard from John right there, just because that's who he was. I really quick transition to sports. I do think that Jalen Green deserves some credit for what he's been doing the last couple of games. I think it was right before the All-Star break where there were questions about whether he was going to remain a starter, but the Rockets kept him in the starting lineup. And he had, last night, a crossover that sent a defender flying. And everyone is looking at that and they're comparing it to when James Harden did the same thing. But that's just the highlight. He has been playing better on both ends of the court. And while I'm not going to say he's been playing like an all defense caliber player, Ime Udoka has clearly noticed. And this is Jalen Green after the game talking about what's been different for him recently.
My main focus is just defense. Just really locking in on matchups and, you know, the things we go over and shoot around. I'm going to be able to score the ball. I'm going to be able to have the opportunity. So it's just the little things that keep me involved when I'm not shooting the ball well or when I got it going, I can do both.
If he's doing all of those things and seems to finally be buying into what Ime Udoka was pushing him towards, which seemed to not be happening based off of his interactions private with a couple of Rocket commentators, I guess. Rocket reporters?
Online Rocket Media?
Online Rocket Media, right. I know some of them don't like to be called reporters.
Yeah, it's a fuzzy line.
But they do cover the team, basically, yeah. Only that's what they do. So with that in mind, to see steps taken in the right direction makes you feel good. Now, we've seen this happen with Jalen Green at the end of a season before where he's looked awesome and it didn't necessarily carry over to the next year. But the hope is that these last, 15 games or so, is that he can keep this up. Because if he can't keep this up, okay, worst case scenario, his trade value is better. Best case scenario,
okay, well, maybe he's not going to become the top five player that everyone wanted him to when you take him second overall, but he can become someone that actually is a part of a team, knows his role, and does that role very well. And, you know, you do need lots of guys like that in the NBA. It might be frustrating to admit that that's probably where his career trajectory is going, but I like that he's bought in because it did seem like a couple of weeks ago like he was bought out and checked out, and that they were checking him out at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. It seemed like they were just as done with him as he, you know, vice
right.
versa. But yeah, obviously talking about how his main focus is on defense even when a shot is falling, like that's good to hear. Especially good to hear on him saying that after a night his shot was falling. He had no problems with the efficiency that he had last night. And yeah, like the difference between this year and last year, in the last couple years of the hot streak to in these seasons, is that the Rockets are still 3.5 games out of the play-in, and so they're credibly close enough to where, like, Ime Udoka can be like, hey, guys, this is a big game for us. Like, we're trying to win this game. Whereas before, their season had already been over for 30 games.
Right.
By now. So, I mean, you know, we talk about, you know, neither of us wanted them to pack it in and tank after Sengun got hurt. And for stuff like this, where, hey, when you have an opportunity to stay in a winning environment, like stay playing winning basketball, and you have the opportunity to do that, and maybe Jalen Green figures it out over the next 15 games of how to play in a winning environment, how to play well in a winning environment. That is still what you're working towards. And, you know, last night it was the Wizards. I will say that. I'm not trying to rain on the parade, but it was against the Wizards. So we'll see, but this is what you're supposed to do to the Wizards. You know, like this is when you play the Wizards, the only thing you can do, and it's not an absolute failure, is to absolutely murder them the way Jalen Green and the Rockets did.
Right. That's all you can do.
That's what you're supposed to do.
And they did it. They did it. 135-119. They took down the Wizards last night. And you take a look at the schedule ahead, and there's enough winnable games where, okay, maybe we are talking about a 10 seed.
Yes, there's still some hope. I will just tap the brakes a little bit because April schedule is pretty hard.
But you know, lots of teams start checking out.
Just tap them. You never know. But I will say, if Sengun was still healthy, I would be on the like. Well, you know, if they go, I would be adding up like what record they need to go over the next 15 games and be like, so if they go, you know, if they go 9-7 or whatever. If they go 9-6 and the Lakers go 6-9, they're in. What are they have the tiebreaker. I'd be looking at the tiebreakers, but I'm not there yet. But it is nice, you know, the Rockets are still winning games without Sengun.
There you go. Ewing theory? Just kidding. Paul Gallant Show. That's Sean Mapes behind the glass. I did it again. Damn it. It's Gallant and George, not the Paul Gallant Show. We need to zap me. Should I flagellate myself? I'm not sure. We're remembering Fred Fowler all show long. John McClain's going to join us at 2 o'clock to talk more about Fred. Also on the show, we'll talk a little bit more about the Houston Texans, an interesting Astros rumor as well. All sorts of things to come. Stick around.